This episode of EduQuest is brought to you by Udemy. Udemy enables anyone to take and build courses online. Their goal is to disrupt and democratize education by enabling anyone to learn from the world's experts. Visit udemy.com and follow them on Twitter at Udemy. This is EduQuest, episode 91, Ahmed Siddiqui. Hey everyone, and welcome to a new episode of EduQuest. My name is Kirsten Winkler. I'm the founder of EduQuest. With me is my guest for today, Ahmed Siddiqui. He is, he is many things actually. He is coordinator for Startup Weekend in the Bay Area, but he's also very active in education. He is the founder of a gaming application for preschoolers called GoGoMongo. And, I think generally an interesting guy to talk about technology and education and how to merge this. And, so welcome to the program, Ahmed.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for having me.
If one reads your bio, we can, of course, read that you worked for IBM for many years, so you're definitely a tech person. I also read that you describe yourself as the number guy, being very interested in data, analytics, and so on. And, now you have an education startup. How does this work together, and why was education exciting for you?
Yeah, so I have got a weird background, I guess. I've always wanted to have my own company, but I also worked for IBM and learned a lot about just data in general. And I wanted to kind of combine the two together. I didn't exactly know what it was that I wanted to go into right away, but I found that I wanted to solve one of my own personal problems. And when I was growing up, English is actually my second language. And I wanted to. I remembered how difficult it was in elementary school and preschool when I didn't know English, and how I was having to communicate and how I learned English, etc. And I realized that my little cousins also were going through the same thing. They were also learning English as a second language, and they immediately knew how to pick up an iPhone and play with it. So I thought, there's got to be a way to put something out, an educational app to teach them English on the iPhone. But I also realized that they loved playing games on the iPhone. I mean, even a two-year-old can pick up Angry Birds and play it, and so I wanted to figure out, how can I bring games together, how can I bring education together, and how can I bring the technology together? Mm-hmm. And so I moved to San Francisco about 2 years ago, and when I was here, I didn't know anybody, and I decided to go to these events, and somebody told me to go to a Startup Weekend event. So I pitched the idea over there, and it got overwhelming response. A lot of people actually felt the same pain that I had, where English was their second language. They remembered having to learn it, and how tedious and hard it was. So we built a team over the weekend, and we built out a cool little app over the weekend. We presented it back. We ended up winning the competition. And then since that point, I was like, maybe I can actually do this. Mm-hmm. And so I started along the journey, and then last year I launched my first game, GoGoMongo, to teach my cousins the names of different foods. And it's a fun little game with a cute little character that he needs to learn English as well. And when I put it on the App Store, it actually did quite well, and these mom bloggers started talking about it. It was just very important. So they started talking about it, and it was funny because I initially wanted this to be a English as a second language game, mm-hmm. but the parents were using it to teach their kids how to eat healthier, which was really surprising for me.
So sometimes, the founding team has an idea and then they throw it out there and the market accepts it. So it's not that you failed. They just use it in a different way from one might expect. Because me coming, definitely coming or being in the education market for a longer time, I would say the demographics in the States are like this, that there are many people from various backgrounds who need to learn English as a second language, and of course at an early age. So I would have probably used it the way it was designed to be, but why not? Those mommy bloggers, yes, I think they are American in the way that it's their kids' first language, and maybe even for the audience who reads their blogs, so that they saw the value of, let's learn the names of fruits, and I don't know exactly what you do, but maybe some other facts about fruit and so mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it.
And, well, if the market or the majority of the users wants that, do you as a company then say, okay, we go in this direction, or do you keep both sort of objectives now simultaneously?
And so that's a great question. I mean, we've been actually kind of dabbling in both for the past year or so, and mm-hmm. we've focused a lot more on the eating aspect of it, mm-hmm. Because I mean eating is a constant problem. Obesity problem is huge, so we focus more on that, just really listening to our customers. But also, we still have these customers that still want to learn English, and so we just launched another title that was focused on alphabets, you know, like learning mm-hmm. ABCs and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm trying to dabble in both. But as of right now, we're really trying to listen to what the customers want and go after that.
And seeing education as a market, there are, of course, so many verticals that it's getting a little bit overwhelming sometimes. How do you define the education market for yourself? Do you directly and only go towards the learners, if you will, the end customers, or as schools are opening themselves more and more towards using iPads and also mobile devices in the classroom, that you think you should maybe strengthen or start off building your relationships with schools maybe as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, these are great. Education, this space is so hot right now because there are so many opportunities for us, even more so than even like a year ago. I mean, you know this, it's changing rapidly, and I strongly feel that it is because the technology is just becoming easier and easier, mm-hmm. And the teachers are getting it. The teachers are getting more opportunities now to interface with these developers, and that's really what we're trying to do with the Startup Weekend Education vertical also, is to really get more teachers involved, really understand what are their main pain points, and instead of us developers just like building stuff, really asking them and saying, well, you know, what's your big problems in your classroom, and maybe I can build something for you. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of both. I mean, for me right now, I was primarily going after the parents, because the App Store, I mean, so many people have iPhones and, you know, just mobile phones in general, or smartphones, that it's just easy to get in that way. But now we're seeing this huge adoption of schools getting iPads, and I keep hearing from teachers all the time that they say, well, you know what, we spend all this money on buying these iPads for the classroom, mm-hmm. but we don't even have any apps on it. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know what apps to put on it. So we've gotten a lot of questions like that, and I'm working with other app developers to figure out, you know, can we build some sort of curriculum based off of the apps that exist? So there's a lot of different ways to get into it. I just feel that, you know, going after the consumers right away is actually a good thing, mm-hmm. because you get that scale right away, and you don't have to worry about all these sort of hoops that you need to go through with schools. But at the same time, I'm finding that schools are being a lot more open now these days. some listening.
I think it has started, like, let's say, if I were in your shoes as the entrepreneur, I think it was the right way to go for your customers or for the parents first, because it's, as you pointed out, it's simply faster than thinking in the school year cycle, when it sometimes takes, as you pointed out in your blog post I just published today, it sometimes takes almost a year to get in. And you have to do a lot of work in terms of convincing the district or the principals. And I see the individual teachers who are working with their classes using the technologies sort of less as a problem, as they, as you said, they don't want to have simply like empty iPads because they cannot do anything with them. Getting sort of in the hierarchy and in the schools and so on, it can sometimes take a little bit of time and definitely take some effort, but is of course a good thing to maybe think of it as a next step or logic next step to do.
I think that's, these doors are slowly starting to open, and it's becoming a little bit easier and easier. And then we've got a sort of investment firms as well, like Imagine K-12, that you know is kind of helping with that as well.
The incubator programs
and stuff. So I mean, I think these opportunities are slowly starting to open up. There's, you know, again, I have to say more about, you know, the Startup Weekend for Education has been huge. It's been, it's really eye-opening for a lot of teachers who would have never thought about anything startup-related to show up to these events, and they're like, wow, you know, I can actually, I have a voice now.
It's pretty cool to see those, we call them, well, if they really do something, teacherpreneurs.
Yeah.
It's definitely necessary because you touched on it slightly that some people, what was it? I think they went to a startup weekend at U last year in Seattle, and back then, it had only started. It was probably one of the first ones, and there were very little teachers or educators. And I think it's a good thing that Startup Weekend, things now more intensively about how to bring the technical side, the developer side, together with the educators. And then really one probably can clearly tell them, okay, we need this and that, or the market needs this and that, and then, of course, the other side can develop as, well, frankly, most teachers are not really capable or even interested in developing the technology. So I think that's a good step, or looking in that direction to get the different parties on board there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, another thing you just reminded me about is if you look in the Apple App Store in the education category, though, majority of those apps are actually not built by big companies. They're built by teachers, or they're built by parents. And that's a majority of that whole section is dominated by, you know, parents that are doing homeschooling for their kids, and they're like, you know, I think I could build an app for this. And they build it for their kids, and then poof, you know, it does really well. So, I mean, there's a lot of this sort of teacherpreneurs, but again, rolling it out to an even bigger crowd is, it's there's still a lot of challenges there. But what I'm finding to be really amazing is so the last Bay Area Startup Weekend education event that we had was back in February. And this one was actually organized primarily by a Teach for America alumni. Her name is Nihal. She's awesome. And she was able to get 50 teachers to the event. So, I mean, it was huge. It was like one-third of the entire group was teachers. And, I mean, we were actually, like, really seeing real problems that, you know, people can solve. So I think the movement is happening. And, you know, we're just at the very beginning.
Absolutely. As you said, already 1 year or when you started with GoGoMongo, so about not even 2 years ago, some 18 months ago, the market was not the same in terms of people interested in it. I mean, as it was getting started, but also the big investment firms, and so people are nowadays really more willing to put in considerable amounts of money, like right from the beginning. So there are signs that we are definitely in a hot market, but as you said, just at the beginning and still at the beginning. So I think a lot of opportunities are going to become more precise and probably clear during this year and then next year. And what would you say is sort of the value in Startup Weekend? Is it more like GoGoMongo, for example, that you get really or come really out with a product after those 54 hours, and the product can also, if you will, survive out there? Or is it more you get introduced to this world, you meet the right people, you sort of get a feeling for how it works, and the product itself is maybe not the most important?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's more towards the latter. My app that we built, that Startup Weekend, is nowhere near what GoGoMongo ended up being. So, I mean, it took me a good, 6 months after to actually do all of that. But what I did get out of the Startup Weekend experience was the idea that, I could be an entrepreneur. Because, again, I've been working in big corporate for, like, a good 9 years, and I didn't even know I could be an entrepreneur, and I didn't know what it was. I thought actually being an entrepreneur was, like, writing some documents, some business plans or something, and, like, going out and raising money. But the reality of it is that, anybody can be an entrepreneur, but you just need to be able to do stuff. And what Startup Weekend demonstrated to me was, I'm able to actually do this. I just need to have the right people around me, and we build cool stuff. And the thing is, it's like, the people that go to Startup Weekend, you don't know anybody there, and you're forming a team on the fly, which is amazing. So it's like the ultimate crash course in entrepreneurship that you can get. And you know what? What do you have to lose, right? You're losing a weekend of your time. Who cares, right? So it's like, you go
I think
in,
you're even not losing it because it's so valuable and exciting, probably.
So I've been to a lot of these networking events, right, where you go in and, there's some speaker there, and then you exchange cards and whatever, but, like, nothing actually happens. The key difference with Startup Weekend is that it's, like, an unconference in that regard, because you're doing all the work. You're meeting new people. You're actually building stuff. You get to understand how these people operate. Just building great relationships that way instead of just having a business card at the end, right? And, especially as we're starting to go into more and more different verticals, the education one was our very first vertical, and that one has been hugely successful because we've been able to get that teacher to connect with that developer, to connect with that marketer, to be able to connect to that entrepreneur. And you typically don't get that in any other conference-style format. So I think the key learning really from Startup Weekend is how much can you learn, and can you try different things, and you're actually getting educated on how to be an entrepreneur by doing.
And, well, you're a busy guy, Ahmed, so I have to let you go soon, I know, but allow me one more question targeted towards how you see the future of education. We talked about it being one of the hottest markets right now with a lot of opportunities, and also money is coming in, so it's getting easier for people to actually survive as a startup, maybe. And what is your prediction? How is education going to change? Where do you sort of clearly see it heading, not necessarily as a whole, but are you thinking about some segments? And just throw some ideas at our listeners and viewers.
Sure, sure. So this is the tough question, right? So where is education going to go? Well, I strongly feel that, I mean, schools are going to be there, right? But I feel like there's going to be so much more around schools that is going to get built up. So more extracurricular programs that will get built up, the more after school type of things that will happen. I really feel like the paper and pen is going to change quite a bit. How teaching is delivered will change. It's not going to be, I lecture and you listen type of thing anymore. It's going to be very much more interactive because we have the technology now to do it. We'll also see a lot more of kind of the Khan Academy style, where the flipped classroom, I think, is going to be really huge. And really, in getting more individualized learning, I think, is going to be key. Because I'm a visual learner, and I wish that I could learn things through art, or I can learn things through video or whatever. And a lot of students don't get that opportunity. And the crazy thing is that nowadays you're getting, the classroom sizes are getting bigger, the budgets are getting cut. And I really feel like it's going to be up to the entrepreneurs and the teachers reaching out to the entrepreneurs to say, look, we need to come up with a better solution. Mm-hmm. And I really want to urge, these dialogues to continue happening, because, I mean, it's only going to be better for the future generations of kids in education. So, I mean, all I can say is it's going to be very, very exciting. It feels like the wild, wild west right now still. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think in the next 5 years, the school systems will be very different because of all this technology. And I'm hoping that they can help shape the technology for the future as well.
And so people sort of getting attracted by what you have just said, and may they be educators or thinking about more looking into the startup world, where should one go to learn more about what you do, and where or how can people get in touch with you, basically?
Oh, sure. So I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Siddiqui Ahmed. It's SiddiquiAhmed. And my website is gogomongo.com. And for anything Startup Weekend education related, it's edu.startupweekend.org. Again, the Startup Weekend is just startupweekend.org as well. So, I mean, I think anybody who wants to get into this, just get into the movement. Again, please feel free to reach out to me if there are any questions, and love to answer and have a conversation with you.
Well, I have to thank you so much for this nice talk today. And, well, probably now I have to let you run off to your next appointment. But thanks so much. It was a good talk, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, Kirsten, thank you so much. And you're doing some amazing work with your blog. Please keep it up, and please keep people motivated to change the education.